Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
And good morning. It is 8:08 on WCCO Radio, shaping up to be a gorgeous day. 66 degrees and sunshine right now, heading for a high in the low 80s. And our expert this week is Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with University of Minnesota Extension. Good morning, Teresa. What are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Laura. I am basking in the cooler weather.
Isn't it the best?
And the fact that we got some rain
yes.
at my house. I was so excited.
The rain, and we can open our windows, and it's just like you can breathe again. It's just
you
the
can
best.
Breathe, yes. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah, that's great. We do already have some questions for you, Teresa, on our text line.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I want to get to those right away. And by the way, if you have a gardening question for Teresa Rooney, you can call us or text us at 651-461-9226. All right, our first text of the morning has to do with an oak branch. Due to the recent rain, we have about a four feet of an oak branch that is hanging too low over the driveway. I've heard that you shouldn't trim an oak tree during the summer. Do you think it would be safe to trim this 4-foot branch off? What do you think?
You don't want to trim your oaks at this time unless you absolutely have to or if there's a broken branch. The reason is you can introduce oak wilt and it opens up an open wound on the oak tree, which can kill the tree. So if you can avoid trimming it until January, February, that would be nice. If you cannot, what I would do is I would get a sealer for trees. I would prune it on a day when it is not very humid out, when there's a nice breeze, when it's kind of dry, it's not super humid or hot. I would cut it, and then I would put the sealer on it and hope for the best. And then I would clean your pruners before you do the cut. I don't know if the branch, how big around it is. If it's any bigger than what you need just a simple clippers for, do go onto the extension website and find out how to do a three-step cut properly, because you need to do that so you don't rip the bark all the way down to the ground. It's a three-step that you do, three steps. And if you don't understand what that is, talk to a master gardener.
Great. Thanks, Teresa. And you mentioned the great resource of the Extension website. I just want to give out that address. It's extension.umn.edu, extension.umn.edu. Candace, we have a caller on the line.
We have Kathy from Princeton.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning. Go ahead. What's your question for Teresa?
Good morning. I grow pole beans, and I put them up on cattle fencing. And they've gotten really out of control this year. And so I have, it's crazy. And so I have, these canopies that go from fence to fence.
Sure.
It's really hard to get in there and pick them because it's so thick. Can I cut that off without really devastating my crop?
You can do some pruning. Understand that whatever pruning you do, you will be cutting back your crop. So just prune what you need to, and that should be just fine. It's up to you how much you want to prune back, because you're getting a lot of pole beans and there's a lot of foliage there. But if you want to cut back some of the foliage, that's fine. Go ahead, cut back some of the longer stems if you need to. Yep, do some judicial pruning there, Kathy. Good luck.
Thanks for the call, Kathy. To the text line. Okay. Two black pearl cherry trees, approximately 8 feet tall, are planted way too close to the house on either side of the sidewalk and the front door. Can they be moved? And how much of a mess are they if they stay? What do you think, Teresa?
I'm not that familiar with those trees, so I'm not sure how big they're going to get. If you know if they're going to get 20 feet tall and that's going to be too big, you can move them. I would do it, maybe do a root pruning now, where you just go around as far as you think you can dig up the roots. And you just sink your shovel down, straight down, and then you just walk away. You're not moving it right now. But then maybe the second or third week of September, when it's a little cooler, you make another cut in the same area and then dig out the trees and move them to where they're going to be. If it looks like they're too big to move, you may want to decide, do I want to cut them all the way down? Do I want to do some major pruning? And then I would talk to an arborist about that, how to prune those trees back into shape, into size. However, if they're going to get really big and they are planted too close to the tree, to the house, this is something you're going to fight with all the time. So you have to decide, do I just want to cut my losses? Do I want to try to move them this fall? Or do I just want to take them out and plant something else in the proper space?
All right. Good advice. Thanks, Teresa. And you mentioned something a while back when, you know, we first started talking about pruning this morning. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the importance of cleaning your pruners. I've never heard that you need to clean your pruners. Why is that?
Well, because your pruners get dirty. They're like your hairbrush that gets dirty. You need to clean it. You don't, especially if you're going from one kind of plant or one plant to another plant, just give them a quick wipe between, especially if you're pruning anything that could be, have a disease on it. You don't want to bring it to the next plant. And speaking of pruning, this is about the last time that you're going to be pruning anything this year. That's a perennial. You stop pruning at the beginning of August. So don't ask me again in September, what can I prune? Because you've missed your window. You need to finish up your pruning this weekend or next weekend at the very latest for all your perennials.
Very good. Another texter. Can I remove milkweed plants if there's no seed pods on most of them? I have so many in my gardens.
Sure. You know, you're in charge of your garden. You're the boss of your garden, supposedly. You can go ahead and edit your plants as you need to. Don't feel guilty if you have a big crop of milkweed or a big crop of something that's just getting out of control. Do not feel bad if you're editing that down to keep the plants manageable and to keep your yard looking good how you want it to look. That's okay to do that.
Okay, good. It has been amazing to see yellow lawns turning green so quickly after the rainfall. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
This texter wants to know, are individual blades of grass changing color? Can you explain what our grass is doing and how it knows what it's doing?
Oh, so the grass will become dormant. It will become inactive when a lot of the water goes down and it goes into a dormancy. It's just trying to hunker down like we were all dormant inside our air-conditioned home, just hunkering down, just trying to get through this heat. And then once it's a little cooler, we all pop outside and we all start growing again. We all start doing what we're going to do. That's what the plants do. They just pull all their resources in and just kind of hunker down for a little while to try to get through the drought or the extra heat. And then once everything shifts where they can manage to grow again, then they send the chemicals and all the photosynthesizing starts up again. That's why the grass changes color like that. That's a good question.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much, Texter. And Candace, we have another caller on the line.
Kathy from Excelsior.
Good morning, Kathy. What's your question for Teresa?
I have a magnolia tree that has scale on it. Is there anything I can do to prevent it from dying?
How big is it, Kathy?
It's pretty big.
Okay. So scale is really taking out all of our magnolias. You can treat it. I would probably contact a tree care company and ask them what they would suggest. You can treat it with a systemic, which makes the entire plant poisonous, so then the scale gets knocked back. It's probably not going to kill it all. You're going to be fighting with it all the time. if it was smaller, you can hand pick it off. You can treat it more of a hands-on. But once it gets big like that, you kind of have to decide, am I going to want to fight this all the time, or am I just going to cut my losses and let the tree go by and then take it out and replace it with something else? I know I lost mine to scale years ago, and it was a fairly small plant. I just wasn't willing to do all the work that was required for it. Sorry, Kathy. But the Extension website has some good information on magnolia scale. Good luck.
Okay, good. And that Extension website, again, is extension.umn.edu. Thank you for the call, Kathy. It is 817 on WCCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens with our Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney from University of Minnesota Extension. Taking your calls and taking your questions by text or by phone, 651-461-9226. When we come back, we have questions about critters, about tomatoes, about, bridal veil bush or shrub. Okay. All of those questions coming up for Teresa in a moment on CCO. And welcome back. It is 8:21 on WCCO Radio. My name is Laura Oakes. You're listening to Smart Gardens with our Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney from University of Minnesota Extension, taking all of your flower, plant, vegetable garden, lawn, tree, whatever kind of question you might have. We have Teresa with us until the top of the hour. So get them in at 651-461-9226. We'd love a few more phone calls. Of course, we always take your texts as well. And Teresa, I hinted at a couple of texts that have come in. The first one is about critters. My vegetable garden is getting eaten by critters this year, which is new. It hasn't happened in the past. What can I do to stop that other than install a fence? Critter control. Thank you, Jeff in Maple Grove. What do you think?
Jeff, install a fence. That's the easiest thing to do. First of all, you have to figure out what critters are eating them. So figure out, if you can, who is doing it, because that will help you figure out what to do. If it's rabbits, a simple fencing system of chicken wire around will slow them down. However, they know where the buffet is, and they will figure out a way to get into the buffet. If it's squirrels, you're going to have a really hard time because they're hard to exclude. You can try for any of these, any of the repellents that are on the market. Make sure they say that they are okay to be used around food, or if you use them around food, how long you have to wait until you can harvest that food. Some of the repellents might be something like blood meal. However, if raccoons are the ones that are damaging it, they would probably enjoy the smell of blood meal and get in there and start looking for something to eat that's nice and dead and that they want to eat. So you have to figure out what critters are in there. If they're birds, a simple bird netting will work. You do have to check that every day to make sure that the birds aren't getting caught in the netting, and then you have to release them. You don't want them to die a terrible death out there.
No.
So repellents, exclusion, that will really help. If you're getting most of the damage during the day, if you have a dog that's outside a lot, that will help. If you're outside a lot, that will help. If it's deer getting into your garden, you may want to try one of the motion-activated sprinklers. You hook it up, and then you turn it on at night, and when something walks by, the sprinkler goes off and scares them away with water. Lights can sometimes help, but not always. Animals get used to it. They're used to living with people. So you have to change things up. If you do go with repellents, make sure to change them every 2 or 3 weeks. Do garlic one time, rotten eggs another time, blood meal another time, a chemical smell another time, and then maybe rotate back somewhere. And then next year, remember, put up your fencing before you plant your garden, and that will slow down the critters. They know where the buffet is now, so you're going to have a harder time defending your food against them coming in because they know where the food is. But next year, if you start excluding them before they get a taste of it, you'll be a lot further ahead. Yikes. Good luck.
That was a very involved answer, Teresa, but so, so helpful. I mean,
well, I did write a book on critter control.
Oh, you did?
Humane critter control. So there is that out there. But you just have to think like a critter.
Yeah, I love that. And I loved all of the rotating options of things to try and to keep them guessing, basically, right?
You got to keep them guessing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you for the question, Jeff. Who knew that we were going to have such a wonderful, involved, comprehensive answer from Teresa? I love it. And it looks like we have another caller on the line, Candace.
Alan from Golden Valley.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for calling in. What's your question for Teresa?
Good morning, and good morning, Teresa. My question is for my sister, who lives up in Cambridge, and she is experiencing this year myriads and myriads of what she's calling tent spiders on her lawn. I don't know if that's what the term is, but
she says that
they continue to grow, these cobwebby things, and they just keep coming back, and she doesn't know what to do about them.
Well, if she... thanks, Alan. That's a great question. I think of August as spider season because that's when there's so many insects out there that now the spider population is growing to eat all those insects. And I think of the webbing that I see in the plants. I know it's not hurting my plants. It is protecting my plants. It is eating the bugs. I mean, the spiders are eating the bugs and catching them. So I understand it's kind of scary and yucky for a lot of people, but I look at them as little diamond nets out there in the morning with the dewdrop on them. And if you have to run them over with the lawnmower, okay. Sometimes you have to duck around them or just take a stick and break them up. It's just because this is the time of year where our spider population is
nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
It's now growing to eat the insect population. It's a natural progression. August is like that, and when we start seeing the dew on the grass and the branches in the morning, that's when we really spot those spider webs that might have been there a few weeks ago, but we just weren't seeing them because it was so hot and dry.
Thanks for the call, Alan.
It's a healthy environment she's got there. She should be happy, even though it can kind of gross a lot of people out.
We need to befriend the spiders, it sounds like.
Spiders are our friends.
Yep, good. Back to the text line, Teresa. I have a paste tomato plant that unfortunately has blossom end rot. Mm-hmm. If I cut the bottoms off the tomatoes, are they still okay to eat or preserve?
Cut the bottoms off and eat those. Your second group of tomatoes that you harvest should not get it, so those I would process. But just to be on the safe side, there's nothing really wrong with them. They just are rotting because they didn't develop properly because of unequal watering. But the second harvest will be a lot less of your blossom end rot. But cut the brown parts off, the yucky parts off, eat them. But then I would wait to get good fruit to preserve, unless you're doing something like dehydrating or something. But if you're processing it in a water bath or a pressure canning, I would use perfectly good fruit. I would not use any fruit with blemishes.
Good. And here we have a tomato blemish question on the text line. I have a black crim tomato. The three tomatoes I picked so far have cracks in the skin. I'm assuming it's due to inconsistent watering.
It is. Okay. It's because the plant suddenly got too much water at one time. With rain, there's nothing you can do about that. It just is what it is. You can use the tomatoes, just cut out any part that's kind of yucky or starting to rot out. You can use those and eat those fresh or cook them up and eat them. There's no problem with that. And if you can mitigate the uneven watering in any way, that would be fine. But otherwise, that's going to happen when we get these sudden bursts of moisture. The plant just grows too big and it just bursts its skin.
I wanted to ask, now this is a little bit of a personal question, Teresa, but you know.
That's okay. Yeah. I take personal questions.
Alrighty. I am growing my very first vegetable garden
this
year.
Yes, you are. That's so exciting.
We talked about it. I have had my tomato plants just absolutely flourishing with cherry tomatoes, and I love it. Mm-hmm. A couple of lettuces and cucumbers. But
congrats.
Thank you very much. But what I'm noticing and what bothers me, who is kind of a perfectionist, I'm a Virgo, I like order, I like things pretty and organized. This garden is an absolute mess. It's things are spilling over, they're uneven, there's dead leaves, there's good leaves. It looks horrible, and thank God it's on the side of my house where nobody can see it. Seriously. So, but that's okay, right? Like, we don't have to have beautiful vegetable gardens.
Hopefully, and I'm not saying this to criticize because I totally understand the perfection aesthetic. Ugh. But then if you can picture it with your stomach eyes and your tongue eyes, your taste eyes instead of your eye eyes, and you can start to suddenly see, look at that tomato plant. She is a monster.
Yes!
And she is just gracing me with all this fruit.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go to the grocery store. And these tomatoes are so beautiful. They're gold and they're red, and they're just so beautiful. And look at how they contrast to the leaves, and it's all this fecundity I see in my garden. And I'm doing this.
Yes.
Thank you so much for
validating my mess.
You know, you can cut back some of the longer stems, clean up the brown things, you know, things that are dead. The dead leaves always make people sad, and then they question themselves. Clean those up. I'm not a therapist, but clean those up so you're not seeing them. You're just starting to see the beauty and what you have done.
Yes.
You took a little plant and you grew it into a monster.
Oh.
And she is just flourishing under your capabilities. And it's okay, you know, to trim things back a little bit and try to contain them. That's okay to do that because we want some control over our garden. We have to be able to get in there. And then you can always say, hey, I'm cleaning this out to get more air circulation in here and to get my tomatoes up where I can see them and not on the ground for the slugs. But that's totally what happens in August to our gardens. They just overwhelm us with their generosity, and sometimes it's just too much. As humans, we don't expect that generosity to be so big and so in our faces, and we're just like kind of overwhelmed. It's like, wait a minute, I can't accept all this. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But you're doing
that.
Great. Yeah. You're doing a good job. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I feel so much better now. And I'm going to have to save a recording of about the last 3 minutes and just play it back to myself at home so I feel better about my messy garden. Thank you,
messy,
Teresa.
Messy is beautiful because that's where things are messy. That's where excitement comes from. That's where inspiration comes from. And take pictures, because in January, when you're freezing in a blizzard, you will be able to take those pictures out and go, look what I did in August.
I did that.
And that was my first year. I'm good.
Yes. I love it. I love your attitude and your great spirit this morning. And folks, I know you do too. Please get us some more questions for Teresa Rooney. We just love her. 651-461-9226. It is 8:32 on WCCO. Time for a break. When we come back, we're going to get to more of your questions. One of them has to do with quack grass. We have much more. Teresa has all the answers coming up. And welcome back. It is 8:37 on WCCO. We're so happy to have you this morning. Our phone lines are filling up. So is our text line. So, Teresa, I want to get through as many of these questions as we possibly can within the next 20 minutes or so. Let's go to the phones. Candace, who's on the line with us?
Rich from West St. Paul.
Good morning, Rich. What's your question?
My wife's the gardener, not me, but she's having trouble with the tomatoes. The bottom of them are turning black.
Yep. Rich, that's called blossom end rot, and it basically is a result of uneven watering as the plant is growing. Earlier fruiting varieties will have this happen very often. Bigger tomatoes will have this happen often. When you get your second crop from that plant, by that time the roots are big enough and they can handle getting the calcium that they need from the soil, and they can make the fruit properly. But because the roots are damaged in the beginning from uneven watering or over-fertilizing, the plant just can't access all the nutrients in the soil that it needs to make the fruit properly. So it just kind of fudges it. And then we get blossom end rot on the bottom of the tomatoes. Cut the icky part off and eat the fruit. It's totally delicious. And just try to even out the watering. And next year, even out the watering better in the beginning. And don't fertilize for about a month after you plant the plants. That will help a lot with the blossom end rot. Good luck.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it. Good luck to you. I promised a question on the bridal veil bush, Teresa, that I forgot to get to. So real quick, is it okay to trim back a bridal veil bush today?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You can trim anything you want at any time. There's just consequences. That is a bridal wreath spirea. It has already set the flowers for next year, just like your lilacs, azaleas, and rhododendrons, and mock oranges, and magnolias. If you do any pruning now, you are pruning back flowers. If you don't care, you can go ahead and trim it. Try to get your pruning of all of the things you want to prune done this weekend or next weekend at the very latest, because the plants do have to start entering dormancy and you don't want to mix them up by pruning too late. So pruning the 1st of August and stopping fertilizing your perennials and your trees and shrubs the 1st of August is what you want to do. And if you want to, you can also become a master gardener. We're taking applications starting the 1st of August.
Ooh, maybe that's my next career.
That could be. That could be. Just go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. You have until October 1st to sign up.
Love that. Quackgrass question, Teresa, from a texter. I have some quackgrass near my native plant area. How much of a buffer space should I have between the quackgrass and the native plants?
As much as you can.
Yeah.
That stuff goes by the roots, by rhizomes. So every little piece you break off will start a new plant. So you want as much space as you can to delay it getting into your native grasses or native plants. So try to keep it as far away as possible if you possibly can.
Super. And a caller with a quack grass question.
It's hard, yes.
Randy from Shorewood.
Hi, Randy. What's your question?
Well, Teresa, could you comment about using corn gluten meal on both quack and crabgrass?
Okay, sure.
It's an all natural fertilizer, but also what it does for those two grasses.
Yep. So quack grass will be very happy if you use it, because it will actually help feed the quack grass. The crabgrass, it is an annual. It will slow down the seeds that grow, so it will stop many seeds. It does have to build up in the soil over like 2 or 3 years to get good efficiency or efficacy. So it stops seeds from germinating. But quackgrass doesn't really expand by seeds as much as it expands by the rhizomes or the roots. So actually the corn gluten meal will feed the quackgrass and make it happier, and it will kill some crabgrass seeds, but it won't kill the grass that is growing now. And then if you try to overseed that area after you've used the corn gluten meal a number of years, you will have a hard time getting any grass seed to grow or any seeds to grow there, including if you want to thicken up your lawn. So that is something that you have to consider when using something like corn gluten meal.
Great. Thank you for the question, Randy.
Good luck, Randy.
We have a couple more callers on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Kathy from Andover.
Lots of Kathys today.
Lots of Kathys today.
What's your question for Teresa? Kathy? Are you with us?
Oh, no, we scared her.
I think we lost Kathy, but I know we have another call. Candace, who do we have?
All right. Let's do Diane from St. Paul.
Excellent. Hi, Diane. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi. Hi, thanks for your program. Teresa, I planted pole beans along a chain link fence that's 5 feet tall, and they're doing beautifully. I have leaves and leaves and spinners and growers, and it's above the fence, but I've not had a single blossom. Am I doing something wrong, or is it
you are not doing? You're not doing anything wrong. It's just been so hot that during this time, they just have not produced many blossoms yet. The plant is just kind of photosynthesizing and growing, but it's like it's just too hot for beans. It's just too hot yet. Once it kind of evens out a little bit, you may start to see some flowers. It should start pretty soon, but we've just had so hot, so dry that I think the plant's just a little stressed. And I think if we look, a lot of our plants may be experiencing that right now.
Thank you.
Yep. Good luck. Good luck, Diane.
Thanks, Diane. On to the next caller, Candace. Who do we have?
Sorry, it was actually Cindy from Andover.
Cindy. Hi, Cindy. How are you today?
Hi. I'm good. How are you? I love this weather.
Yes, isn't it such a relief? What's your question for Teresa?
Okay, it's about our azalea bush. It used to bloom at the right time, and then we got some sort of a little worm at the bottom of the bush, and then we didn't have any, and now we've been spraying it good before, you know, we think we should even, but the azalea started blooming about 2 weeks ago. It's a pink azalea.
Mm-hmm.
And it bloomed, and now they're done now. We don't know what to do about that.
Well, it's probably the sawfly larva. They like the azaleas just after they finish blooming. The plant is just a little confused with the heat and the coolness and the heat. It just got a little off the cycle. It should start to come back cycling normally next year, hopefully. Just keep it well watered, especially in the fall. Make sure it stays well watered because they do have shallow fibrous roots, and then mulch them very well. Make sure to give it a acidic fertilizer. Do that right away, or top dress with soil sulfur every spring and fall, and it should come back into cycling normally again. Lots of our spring blooming plants are starting to put on a second growth or a second bloom toward the end of summer. It's just because they're just getting a longer season. And also we go through some weird weather sometimes where it's a little chilly and they think, oh, that was winter. Now I need to bloom again. So it opens up some of its flowers. They just get a little confused. But do make sure that you put down some soil sulfur or a fertilizer for azaleas right away, like this weekend or next weekend, and then just keep it well watered and it should be fine.
Good. Thank you, Cindy. One more caller before we take a break, Candace.
Michael from St. Paul.
Hi, Michael. What's your question?
Well, hi. Thank you very much. We have an extensive native plant garden at our school, and what's happened over the last few years is crown vetch has inserted itself, and we're just thinking, what are some things that we can do to get rid of it, to slow it down, to try to manage it?
I would be pulling it as much as possible. It's a very aggressive plant. It is a nitrogen fixer, so it is feeding the other plants, but it's just so aggressive. If there's a spot where you're okay with it, if it's a hill or something like that yet you need to hold, go ahead and let it grow there. Otherwise, I would just do as much physical weeding as you possibly can and just really stay on top of it. That's the easiest and probably the most ecologically friendly way to handle that. Good luck. It's great for throwing in the compost bin after you pull it, though. That's wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you for the call.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good luck, Michael.
Yes, good luck to you. It is 8:47 on CCO. We have many, many more questions to get to for Teresa. We'll be back after the break on CCO. And good morning. Welcome back to Smart Gardens on WCCO Radio. My name is Laura Oakes, and we are joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with University of Minnesota Extension. If you have further questions about some of the things you're hearing this morning, you can always find more information at the Extension website, and that is extension.umn.edu. Teresa, we have another caller on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Chris from Maple Plain.
Good morning, Chris. What's your question?
Hey, good morning. Just a question. My neighbors are all getting nice cucumbers, and all I have are flowers and no cucumbers. Is it too late to fertilize, or what's going on?
Nope. Go ahead and fertilize, Chris. That's fine. It could just be that they're growing different varieties. Could be their watering was a little different. Normally, the cucumbers will send out the male flowers first. Then when they get enough bees and everybody else, if they think they're, okay, the pollinators know we have flower, we have stuff here now, then they'll start sending out the female flowers. So if you're seeing the male flowers, that's that you're on the road. It's just the heat has probably slowed a lot of these things down, and now your plant will catch up and start sending out female flowers. And then if you've got pollinators, you should start seeing cucumbers pretty soon. Be patient.
I am happy to hear that, Chris. I have the exact same problem. So we'll talk cucumbers again next week and see if either of us have grown anything by then.
And go out there and look at the flowers and start seeing, do you see two different kinds of flowers? One will look like a regular little cucumber flower, and then the other will look like it's got a little start of a cucumber on it. That's the female flower.
Good.
with the little ovary at the bottom that will turn into a cucumber if it gets pollinated.
Great. Thank you so much. Back to the text line. How late in the year can I treat my lawn for grubs? I saw some a couple of weeks ago. Thank you. What do you think, Teresa?
It really depends on the kind of grubs and how big the grubs are. So I would go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look at the page there for the grubs and under the lawn care section, and try to figure out which grubs you're looking at and how big they are, how badly they are in your yard, how many you have per like a 12-inch little radius. If you dig down, how many do you pull up? So go ahead and dig up those grubs and bring a microscope out there or a looking glass and look at them and see where the hairs are and how big they are and everything else. And that will tell you what to do. And then it will tell you how to treat it. Because it depends on which grubs you're looking at.
Gotcha. Another pest question. Sue from Shorewood asks, first, she tells us she has gardened for 40 years. She has
Sue.
Yes.
When you can become a master gardener.
Exactly. That's right. They're taking applications, Sue. UMN,
right now, Sue.
extension.umn.edu. Sue says that for 40 years, she has had hostas the whole time. This year, she has had cutworms attack her hostas. She's never seen this. Is this common? What conditions can contribute to this happening?
Wow, it's not that common because usually our hostas are a bit stronger and the cutworms can't wrap around them. They just aren't long enough to wrap around them. You may want to start maybe next year, just put simple little cardboard collars around the new hostas as soon as they come up. And then just hopefully that will really knock down the population so they can't spread. It's not a very common thing. But if you have the little miniature hostas or tiny tender hostas, you can get an infestation of cutworms. Then you just hope the birds come in and eat them up, and then you cut off their food source in the spring next year, and that should break that cycle a little bit.
Good luck.
Yes,
thanks for the question, Sue. If one can fertilize tomatoes too early, how about watermelons?
Probably not watermelons because they aren't going to set their fruit for a really long time. And so you should be okay. You know, any little plant, when you put it in, it's just a baby plant. So let it kind of get used to being where it is before you start dumping steak dinners on it. You know, just let it kind of get used to being there. Let it grow out some roots. Let it get a little established. Grow some more leaves, grow some more roots. And then you can start feeding the soil. And then that will help to feed your annual vegetable gardens. Because you do need to fertilize them.
All righty. Another texter. My maple leaves are brown and falling off. Is that caused from the walnut tree 50 feet away?
I'm guessing probably not. I'm thinking it's more of a lack of water. Maybe some really harsh winds, if you've had some really strong winds, or just a lack of water and the huge amount of heat that we've had to endure. So if you can, get your maple, give it some water, and then do look at the trunk of the maple as it's going into the ground. Make sure it does not look like a telephone pole going straight into the ground. Make sure you can start to see where the roots are starting to flare out a little bit, like how a little kid might have drawn an old-fashioned tree with two swooping, the roots coming out at the bottom like a flare, not just a pole. You can also go out to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and you could look at girdling roots for maple, girdling like a lady's girdle, G-I-R-D-L-I-N-G, and look at that. But I'm thinking it's probably just lack of water and the heat that we've had, and if you've had a lot of wind in your area.
Alrighty, I have a straw bale garden. Why are my bell pepper plants short and giving small peppers?
Bell peppers, I find, are really hard to grow here in Minnesota. Mm. It's just could be a lack of nutrients and just a lack of maybe enough sun for it. It's probably got sun, but it could be too hot for it up there. Bell peppers are just, I find, harder to grow with a nice thick wall. Mine were always abject failures, no matter how. So I just go to the farmer's market and get them now. Because I can fail at other things. I don't need to know I'm going to fail at bell peppers.
Right. You kind of have to choose your battles, right?
I choose my battles. I want the excitement of something new. Yeah. I don't want to know I'm going to fail miserably. But I would just think if everything else in your gardens, in your straw bale gardens, are looking good, it's just that plant is just not really happy in that situation. Maybe it needs some more water. That could be what it is. Maybe it needs a little break from the hot sun. It could be that, or maybe it just needs a little more fertilizer. You just have to kind of figure out what's going on with it.
All right. Thank you. What is the best time to plant asparagus, Teresa?
You'd want to do that in the spring. That would be the best time to get the asparagus crowns. Read up on the extension website about it. You do need to dig a hole, make sure that they have nice, rich soil. You plant the crowns, and then you're going to have to take care of that for about, 3 years before you do much harvesting at all. So you have to understand this is going to be a perennial crop, but it's going to take about 3 years for that crop to get big enough so you can actually start harvesting from those plants. And we plant those in the spring, and we plant crowns is what you're looking for.
All right. It's so hard to be patient when something takes years to actually
show. It is. But then we remember that song, Anticipation. Yes. And I'm not going to try to sing because I cannot carry a tune.
Maybe next time. Maybe next
no,
time.
Not even next time.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa. We appreciate all your fantastic information and insight. And, of course, listeners, thank you so much for your texts and for your phone calls. You can always find more information on everything Teresa talked about on the University of Minnesota Extension's website, and that is extension.umn.edu. Now, we're switching from gardens to home improvement. Get your questions ready for Andy Lindis coming up on CCO.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.